It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. AFC style here on the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. Week 15 in the NFL. Playoffs for a lot of you. Time to turn to daily for a lot of you, like DraftKings.com, if you haven't already. Either way, let's talk defensive streamers, Evan. Who do you got for this week?
We got Pittsburgh against Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler getting worse every game. Broncos are going to end up going back to Peyton Manning. Brock Osweiler, just a check down machine. Started to play fast and frenetic and scared last week against the Raiders. Just hasn't been good. I mean, and the Broncos know that. You could tell by the way that they call plays. So I expect the Steelers to have a good game defensively against the Broncos. You know, the Broncos have not scored a touchdown in seven quarters. And that's in what, you know, we're supposed to be pretty good matchups against San Diego and Oakland. I mean, they, you know, their offense has hit another stall. Another one of the streamers is Minnesota against Chicago. I'm trying to get Minnesota's D in the Feast League, where I'm taking on Jen. And, you know, I hope that she does well in the rest of her other leagues. But I will be, you know, taking this one down. I'm trying to stream Minnesota against Jay Cutler. You know, this is not a bet against the Bears offense per se, which I kind of like. I think is underrated, but it's more of a bet on the Vikings getting healthy guys back. You know, they're difference makers on defense. Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith, who's the other guy? Linval Joseph. Although I don't think Linval Joseph is going to be back. But Barr and Harrison Smith are definitely difference makers. And then I like the fact that the Vikings are at home and they're favored by 5.5. I think they could control the game with Adrian Peterson and, you know, force the Bears into uncomfortable situations. So like the Vikings and Indianapolis at home. Now this is a total punt play. I mean, I've looked at the Colts in DFS just because they're essentially the min price. And you get to play him at home and against T.J. Yates. But, you know, it's certainly not a safe play. And it's, you know, if you look at your defensive, you know, the defenses that are available in your fantasy league, you know, in a lot of my leagues, like, there aren't many defenses left. Certainly all the good ones are gone. A lot of people have started to roster two, even three defenses. Indianapolis has been out there in most of my leagues. And there are some situations where I'm going to have to start them. But again, it's not a play on the defense, you know, from a personnel standpoint. It's a play on the fact that Indianapolis is at home and facing T.J. Yates.
So you're streaming both T.J. Yates and the Colts defense. That makes sense.
I mean, I'm hoping to get like 11 points from T.J. Yates and then hopefully he throws a pick six and my defense gets 11 points too.
Well, we shall see. Let's do it, Bri.
Next meal.
We can actually start in Baltimore, where the Ravens host the Chiefs. If you want to know what we think about the Jets, you're going to have to listen to the NFC Fantasy Feast if you didn't already. Evan got a little overzealous. Chiefs at the Ravens. Let's start with the Ravens. I mean, is there a guy to start? The Buck Allen thing kind of evaporating. They're going against the Chiefs D. Jeremy Butler? Is there a Jeremy Butler out there?
Who?
Jeremy Butler, the leading receiver for the Ravens last week.
Yeah, there was another guy out there running around named Daniel Brown. I mean, I don't even know who any of these guys are, honestly. It's gotten bad in Baltimore. I mean, Max Williams did not even get a target. He barely played. I mean, he was in on like 33% of the snaps. It's really, really ugly. I have Buck Allen in a few leagues. I'm trying to bench him wherever I can. The Chiefs do not give up catches to running backs either. Not only are they do they have a good run D, but they've given up like the second fewest or maybe the fewest catches in the league to opposing running backs. So that's worrisome. Yeah, I suppose, you know, Kamar Aiken has produced amid all the quarterback turnover, but just going into the weeks, I don't feel good about Kamar Aiken.
No.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Chiefs.
So if Spencer Ware does not play, and he, I would expect, ends up listed as questionable, he's got a rib injury. I think Charkandrick West might blow up. I think he gets 20 to 24 touches, maybe even more. I mean, maybe 30 if the Chiefs are in control here. And, I mean, I'm going to use him in daily fantasy if we see on Sunday morning that Spencer Ware is inactive. I will use a lot of Charkandrick West. The passing game looks good here, I think, for the Chiefs. The Ravens play good run defense. They force teams to attack them in the air. We saw what Russell Wilson did to them. We saw what Josh McCown plus Austin Davis did to them in that Monday nighter. I mean, they have a bad pass defense. And I think Alex Smith will be rock solid this week. And it raises my expectations for Jeremy Maclin and for Travis Kelce. And really for Charkandrick West, too, because he's the Chiefs' best passing game back. So I think the Chiefs put up a decent number of points here, and they do it primarily with their passing game.
Let's move on.
Next meal.
Texans, Colts, you already kind of said what you expect from T.J. Yates. I guess the only question, people that might have DeAndre Hopkins concerns, what would you say to them? And then we'll get into the Colts offensively.
I mean, the concerns are certainly fair. You know, there are also positive data points that you can look at. DeAndre Hopkins had a big game with T.J. Yates at quarterback when T.J. Yates started against the Jets and Darrell Revis. I mean, I thought, you know, going into that one, I almost thought it was hopeless for DeAndre Hopkins. He came out with five catches for 118 and two TDs. Earlier in the season, DeAndre Hopkins had 11 catches against the Colts. So, you know, I don't know if you're playing DeAndre Hopkins in daily fantasy this week, but you're certainly using him in your season-long leagues. You get to use him indoors too, which is nice. You know, Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington have been pretty much up and down. Nate Washington really hasn't done anything recently. He did have a 49-yard catch against the Patriots, but that was it. Cecil Shorts has been really up and down and unreliable from a fantasy standpoint. His matchup is great against Darius Butler in the slot, but just, you know, a really tough guy to trust, especially with the quarterback downgrade. On Indy's side, you know, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback this week. I don't think it's going to be Andrew Luck. I'm a little skeptical that it'll be Matt Hasselbeck. I still think there's a chance that it could be Charlie Whitehurst. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck, his body is giving out. You know, they've already asked too much of him. And the guy can't even make it through a game without getting hurt. And now they're going to put him up against J.J. Watt. I know they need to win football games, but this is getting a little bit ridiculous with Matt Hasselbeck, the poor old man.
Let's move on.
Next meal.
So it's the Jags hosting Atlanta. We talked about the Falcons. You expect the Falcons to play their best game in a while, but their defense has been pretty abysmal. The Panthers tore them up.
Yep.
I imagine Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns were starting, Bortles. I guess the question is, how do you feel about Denard Robinson?
Love him. Love him. The Falcons have just gotten destroyed on the ground. Three straight games, you know, giving up like 5.3 yards per carry to opposing running backs during that stretch. Bunch of touchdowns. You know, Fozzie Whitaker and Jonathan Stewart both scored rushing TDs against them last week. Denard Robinson will be an every down back. No Gerhardt, no Yeldon. I think Shoelace has a big game this week. He's easily the best pickup in fantasy football. I was lucky to have already stashed him in a couple spots. I'm excited to use him. I think this game is high scoring. The Jaguars have no qualms about using him in scoring position. They earlier in the season, they were taking away some scoring position looks from TJ Yeldon to get Denard Robinson the ball down there. Last week, he had a couple of goal line carries, scored one in the fourth quarter. Love Shoelace.
All right.
Next meal.
Sounds like, by the way, I should mention that although he might be really heavily owned, Denard Robinson might be a good play at DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. I said this on the NFC version. If you're in the playoffs, then why don't you show what you got on the big stage at DraftKings.com. If you're not in the playoffs, do you really want to not have any fantasy football to play this Sunday? Exactly. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000 and a lifetime of bragging rights. Enter Feast for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Feast, baby. Our next game is the game I will be at, Evan.
Hey Ross. Let me mention one thing about the Jags-Falcons game, because this game really interests me. I think it could be up-tempo, and I think there could be a lot of points scored. I actually think that Julius Thomas is the best play on the Jaguars side in their passing game. I think Denard Robinson is arguably the best play, you know, period. But so Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns have started to move around a lot more, and they're both going to, you know, kind of take turns running routes at Desmond Trufant, who quarterbacks don't throw at. And when they do, you know, he makes them pay. But generally quarterbacks just avoid him. And the Falcons have given up the 6 most fantasy points to tight ends. Julius Thomas had a touchdown in 4 straight games. You know, I think that the game sets up the best. He led the Jags in targets last week. I think that the game sets up the best. If this is going to be like a 38-35 game, which I think there's a chance that it could be, I think that Julius Thomas is the best play on the Jags side, and we can move forward.
All right, well, Titans-Patriots is the game I'm going to be at. LeGarrette Blount reportedly done for the year. Titans defense, it's been well documented by you, has been atrocious as of late. Combination of no Blount and Titans defense, I'm assuming, I mean, obviously Gronk and Amendola. What about, like, LaFell and James White in this one?
Yeah, not loving James White. You know, only has one game over 6 touches all year. I just don't, you know, I just think that they don't see him as a guy that they want to give the ball to a lot. Now, the Patriots can be a little unpredictable, and they could end up giving the ball to James White a decent amount in this game, but I think that they'll give it to Brandon Bolden, who's a better runner than James White. James White is good in the passing game. But Brandon Bolden is a better runner, and he's good in the passing game as well. I've always thought that he's kind of a little underrated. Not that he's a great player or that he's even a starting caliber player, but he's a guy who I've always thought that, you know, you could roll with him for 3 games as your feature back, and, like, you'd be in good shape. You know, he gets what's blocked a little bit more sometimes. He can pass protect, and he can catch the football. And, you know, in the short term, I think he's a more than serviceable option, and I think he's the best play in the Patriots' backfield this week. The Patriots have a 30.5-point team total in this game. The Titans have been absolutely destroyed via the pass recently. Who did they play last week, Ross? Who did the Titans play last week?
They played the Jets.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick went nuts. The week before that, Blake Bortles had like 5 touchdowns against them. Derek Carr the week before that had like 3 or 4. I mean, this should be a great, great game for Brady and Gronk. Amendola as well. You know, we kind of highlighted last week how the Titans have really struggled at slot cornerback. And that's where Amendola runs his routes. Eric Decker proceeded. I mean, he did whatever he wanted. And Eric Decker's playing a lot of slot this year. He did whatever he wanted against the Titans last week. And then, you know, I do think LaFell has a good game here. The Jets have also – I mean, the Titans have also struggled against big-bodied outside receivers, you know, whether it's Allen Robinson or Amari Cooper. You know, they had – why do I keep forgetting who the Titans played last week? Who did they play?
Jets.
The Jets. Yeah, oh, yeah, Marshall. Marshall crushed them. So I think LaFell does have a good game here, and I know that he's been terrible this season. I don't know if you want to play him in your season-long leagues. You know, chances are you have a better option. But I don't think he'd be a bad play this week, and I also like him in daily fantasy. You know, his ownership is sure to be low because of how badly he's played, but his matchup is great. The team total is huge. I think Brady has a monster, monster game.
Anybody worth talking about for the Titans?
You know, Delonte Walker is in a bad spot. The Patriots have allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to tight ends. They proactively take away the opponent's number one option, as we discussed last week, which you know to be true from your experience as a Patriots player. I mean, the Patriots can use Jamie Collins to cover Delonte Walker, and they probably feel comfortable with that. They may use double teams against Delonte Walker as well. I think it's going to be an ugly game for the Titans offense. I do think that Marcus Mariota is good enough that, you know, he will prevent the Titans offense from being an embarrassment. I mean, he's done that a few times this year. But I don't think that there's going to be a big fantasy game on the Titans side in this one.
All right, then we can move it.
Next meal.
It is the Bills in Washington to take on the Redskins. What do you got on the Bills?
So, a lot of people liked LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor in daily fantasy last week. And although both had solid real-life games, neither really, you know, ripped it up in daily fantasy. So that, you know, and then people get very consumed by recency bias, especially when they invested their money into a player and he didn't really, you know, he didn't really win them much. So they're going to move on. And so all those people will be off of Tyrod and LeSean McCoy. And then the people who look at the box scores will be like, eh, you know. So I think that their ownership will be kind of low in a pretty good spot here against the Redskins. I do think it'll be a slow moving game. You know, it's not like how last week's game set up against Philadelphia, but I think LeSean McCoy, you know, as a guy with over 100 total yards in 7 straight games, he's going to get 20 touches, you know, quite possibly a lot more. The Redskins run defense is not very good. Their pass defense is not very good either. Sammy Watkins runs most of his routes against right cornerbacks, and that is where the Redskins use Quentin Dunbar, who actually has played pretty well for them this year, but he did have, you know, kind of predictably had a tough game last week against Alshon Jeffrey. He's an undrafted rookie from Florida. So, you know, even for as well as Quentin Dunbar has played as a rookie and an undrafted, and that's great by Scott McLuhan, he's still a guy that we want to look to attack in fantasy, and we think that Sammy Watkins can beat him. So, like where all those guys stand, another, you know, kind of plus for Sammy Watkins is that Charles Clay looks like he's not going to play, which may translate to 2 or 3 more targets for Sammy.
Good point. Anything else on the Bills?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, Robert Woods had his second career 100-yard game last week, but where he runs most of his routes, he's going to have to go up against Bashaud Breeland, who's kind of a stud, quiet stud for the Redskins.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
Green Bay is in Oakland to take on the Raiders. And we're on the AFC podcast, so we're talking the Raiders. Raiders got it done, at least in the second half against the Broncos. First half was ugly.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, I think that that's, you know, that's what happens when you play Denver. And I like the way that the Raiders responded. They hung tough, man. And I mean, I was impressed by the Raiders offense last week. Even though the stats were not good, it was a really, really ugly first half. You know, Derek Carr hung tough. And I think that they have a solid offensive effort here against Green Bay. The Packers do play pretty well on defense for the most part. I know they gave up some long runs to McFadden and Turbin last week, but I think they can be beaten. Sam Shields, their top cornerback, suffered a concussion last week, so we'll see if on his availability. I think Derek Carr, you know, has a solid, not huge game. I think that Amari Cooper might have a huge game, especially if Sam Shields does not play. Crabtree has really started to fall off recently. He's under 20 yards in two of his last three games. But, you know, the passing offense still funnels through him and Cooper. So I would expect him to bounce back against Green Bay. Latavius Murray has been getting a lot of work, super, super ineffective. I mean, you know, he did have a touchdown called back, a short touchdown, but he has been just incredibly ineffective for, you know, a good 6 weeks, not really used much in the passing game anymore, you know, under 3 yards a carry, just, you know, might not be the answer for the Raiders.
All right, let's roll.
Next meal.
Cleveland's in Seattle. Are you, you're all on board with Crow in this one, aren't you?
No.
There's a lot of people picking him up, by the way, I saw on Yahoo. That's about the worst idea I've ever heard.
Did we talk about him on the show last week? Because I talked about him in my column, how I liked him as a daily fantasy play.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
and,
did.
And then I didn't. And yeah, and then I didn't use him. And then he was the number one overall fantasy running back. And
unreal.
Yeah. So I'm an idiot. Don't use him against Seattle, please. Duke Johnson does make some sense, could catch some passes, but the Seahawks have given up some big receiving games to running backs, remember. D'Angelo Williams had like 7 catches for 88 yards against them. Buck Allen even last week had 5 catches for 44. But you know, the expectation should be lowered. I mean, I will be very interested to see how Manziel performs in this spot, because theoretically he's had the 2 best games of his career in his last 2 starts, although one of them came in garbage time against the Steelers. And another came against a 49ers team that just really was not competitive in Cleveland. So, you know, what are our expectations this week? The guy who he targeted the most and had the most success throwing the ball to last week, Brian Hartline, he's done for the year. The Seahawks can stick Richard Sherman on Travis Benjamin. Barnett should be able to deliver. Tight ends give the Seahawks fits, and it looks like Cam Chancellor won't play. But, you know, what do you expect, Ross, from Johnny Manziel?
I think it's going to be a massacre. I think it's going to be a massacre. I think the Browns are going to have less than 250 yards of offense. I think it's going to be bad. I really do. And I think we should move on.
All right.
Next meal.
Denver is in Pittsburgh. You've already made your feelings on Osweiler pretty clear. I guess I'm more intrigued by the Steelers' offense against that awesome Denver defense.
Yeah, the only guy on the – actually, I guess there are 2 guys on the Broncos' offense that I'd be optimistic about. The running game is an absolute shambles, and I don't even want to talk about it because it's – don't use guys from the Broncos running backs this week against the Steelers run defense. I think that Demaryius and Vernon Davis could have good games here. Demaryius just being fed so many targets, and Vernon Davis, I mean, he was good last week before a late game drop. He was very, very effective, and you can attack the Steelers zone with tight ends. I mean, that has been the case for much of the season. I think they're eighth in, you know, they've allowed the eighth most fantasy points to tight ends on the year. So kind of like Vernon Davis, definitely like Demaryius. Emmanuel Sanders has devolved into kind of the same guy that Torrey Smith was last year in Kubiak's offense, and without a quarterback that is throwing the ball downfield. So that's, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is just totally boom or bust. The matchup looks good for him on paper, but I wouldn't feel good about him. And then on the Broncos side, defensively, I would expect Chris Harris to match up with Antonio Brown. I would expect the Broncos to put Aqib Talib on Martavis Bryant. And I would expect Bradley Roby to be on Marcus Wheaton. So none of those matchups are good. However, Tom Brady had some fantasy success throwing against the Broncos. I mean, the Patriots did not win that game in Denver, but he had three touchdown passes. I mean, he had a good fantasy week. Andrew Luck earlier in the season had a good fantasy game against Denver. So, I mean, it's not like there's no hope. I think that the Broncos or the Steelers will try to attack the Broncos with the pass. I think that, you know, a lot of pass attempts for Ben Roethlisberger. I think Heath Miller is kind of a sneaky bet for a big game. The Broncos have given up some big games to tight ends. Both Scott Chandler and Rob Gronkowski in that Week 12 Patriots game had big box scores against Denver. So, I think that your expectations should be lowered for Ben and Antonio Brown, but I think that those guys are still good fantasy starts. They'll be low owned in daily fantasy. You can bank on that because of the matchup. But I think they still come away with pretty good games. Martavis is probably the guy that I'm most worried about. Because I mean, if he's covered well, you know, Aqib Talib held Amari Cooper to zero catches on eight targets last week. So if Martavis is covered well, I'm not so sure that Ben will feel comfortable taking those two or three downfield shots to Martavis this week that he usually does.
Got it. Let's move on.
Next meal.
You are intrigued by this Dolphins-Chargers game. You think the Chargers are going to blow them away. Tell me about it from a fantasy perspective.
Okay, so the Dolphins, their season just ended on Monday night. Now they're on a short week, traveling across the country. The Chargers will, you know, they've been embarrassed a few times recently. This is maybe their last game ever in San Diego. They're talking about it. I mean, if you read the Union Tribune San Diego, they know. Antonio Gates really emotional about it. I think that Philip Rivers gets Antonio Gates a touchdown this week. Antonio Gates was like, you know, if this is my last game here, I want it to be my best game here. You know, I don't want to go out a loser. It means something to him, and it probably means something to Philip Rivers too. So I think those guys bounce back for solid weeks, man. I mean, you know, people might have dropped Philip Rivers in fantasy, and you know, if you need a streamer, like, pick him up and start him against Miami, which just got absolutely smoked, embarrassed on Monday night against, Eli Manning. The weapons are certainly a concern for Philip Rivers, but he's still got Antonio Gates. He's got Malcolm Floyd. You know, he's a quarterback who's good enough that he can elevate players around him. Hopefully they get Stevie back. We'll see. I kind of like Melvin Gordon in this spot too. Quietly over his last six games, Melvin Gordon has averaged over 17 touches per game. The Chargers have made it a point to get Melvin Gordon the ball. They know that their season is kind of lost, but they want to get Melvin Gordon, you know, they want him to have a good game before his rookie season is over. You can certainly run on the Dolphins. I mean, Rashad Jennings did it on Monday night. Another guy who just kind of came out of nowhere to have a good game. And I think the same could happen here with Melvin Gordon. I think that the Chargers show up and the Dolphins quite possibly do not. The Chargers play with the lead, and Melvin Gordon ends up with like 20 touches. His price is so, so cheap in daily fantasy right now. And I think he has his best game of the season.
What about Lamar Miller on the Dolphins side?
I mean, Lamar Miller, you know, for the second year in a row is like leading the NFL in yards per carry. And he doesn't, you know, they use him like a glorified change of pace back. And it would make sense for the Dolphins to go into this one looking at how bad the Chargers have been on run defense. I mean, they're 32nd in Football Outsiders run defense, DVOA. They allow 4.95 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Like, hopefully, you know, the Dolphins coaching staff has access to these kind of stats. And, you know, they understand that this is a weak run defense. And they're like, all right, well, you know, if we want to get a win, we need to run the ball on this team. We screwed it up on Monday night. You know, by not running the ball, we had a bunch of three and outs. And, you know, we left our bad defense on the field. And, you know, we can learn from our mistake. But, you know, that's very much wishful thinking because the Dolphins have not done that over an extended period of time. So Lamar Miller looks great on paper, and we'll see. Jarvis Landry, I'll be interested to see if the Chargers put Jason Verrett on him. It's very possible that they do. But if they do not, he will face off with Craig Mager, who recently replaced Brandon Flowers at slot corner, third-round rookie from a small school. That would be a good matchup for Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker just still really raw, learning, you know, certainly has flashed, but that's about it. You know, he could get nothing going against the Giants.
Last but not least, Bri.
Next meal.
Bengals in San Francisco, A.J. McCarron at the helm. He made some good throws on Sunday, some deep digs to A.J. Green. Seemed to have total command of the offense. I think he'll do better than people think, Evan.
I do too, but how do you think that they game plan in this game? Because they may not have Eifert. And do you remember what happened the last time that they did not have Eifert? I mean, they ran the ball with power. They were not a spread team anymore.
No, I still think that they're going to run the ball a lot, no matter what Hugh Jackson says. Because I think they believe that their defense and offensive line is enough to beat the Niners, and they want to get this win.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Yeah, I read those quotes too from Hugh Jackson, and what, you know, I mean, what is he gonna say? Like, no, we don't trust our quarterback anymore, so you know, we got to go run the ball. I mean, there's no way that he would ever say anything like that. So, what's the inverse of that? It's like, of course he's gonna say we're gonna run our same offense, and they will. But you know, I think they would have, you know, even if they had Dalton in there, they still would have tried to run the ball with power against San Francisco, because that's really the way that you beat San Francisco. I mean, you can beat them in a lot of different ways, but their run defense is bad. So I think this will be a good spot for Jeremy Hill. I don't think we'll see much of Geo. I don't think Eifert's going to play, although I don't know if that's right. I mean, have you seen anything on Eifert? I've been looking for the last 2 days on, for tidbits on Eifert, but the Cincinnati media is so focused on Dalton, I don't even think they've been asking Marvin Lewis questions about Eifert.
He's in the
protocol.
He
left last game with a concussion.
Yeah, he's in the concussion protocol, so okay. I would actually expect him to miss the game. That would be my guess.
I don't know that,
but he had a neck issue. Then Mike Mitchell blasts him in the head neck. I think that they're going to err on the side of caution with him. So do you think both running backs eat? Because I do.
Okay. I mean, I think that Hill eats. It's quite possible that Geo does too. I mean, this could be a game where they have 35 rushing attempts as a team, you know, and Geo gets 12 and Jeremy Hill gets 23, you know, that could be, that could very well be.
All right. By the way, one little note. As we're recording this on Wednesday, Steven Jackson is meeting with and working out for the Patriots. So won't really matter for season-long fantasy, but it'll be interesting to see whether it's Monte Ball or Steven Jackson that has 124 yards in the divisional round. I can't wait to see that. That'll do it for the Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast for week 15. We will be back next week for championship week for many of you with both the NFC and AFC Fantasy Feast. I should mention, not only are there a bunch of great gift ideas on the sponsors page at RossTucker.com, but how about just the Amazon banner ads? It's crazy easy to buy something for somebody on Amazon. So if you can, use our banner ad. That'd be awesome. Other than that, stick a fork in us. We're done eating. We're done. We're finished. We're stuffed. We're full. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.